Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about the believer's authority. I have a brand new book out on this, and the subtitle on this book is really interesting. It says, The Believer's Authority, and then the subtitle says, What You Didn't Learn in Church. You know, there is a lot of teaching on the believer's authority, but in my estimation, I think it leaves something. There's things wanting in it, and there's many things that I disagree with, and that's the reason that I taught on this myself. But there is a overemphasis in many cases. I believe that the way the believer's authority is taught, and it, of course, as you talk about your authority, you have to talk about what authority or power does your enemy, the devil, have. And I think it's often way overstated, Satan's power. And this leads believers into a thing to where they are giving Satan way too much credit. They are actually empowering him by doing that. So I'm trying to put this back into a balance. We're going to be talking about our authority over the devil. But this book, I think, has a tremendous potential to really touch people's lives. This is a brand new book. We also have this in CD form, and then we have DVDs as seen on television, and they would be a blessing to you. And one of the things that we're doing now is we have this study guide, and it's the same material that's covered in the book, but it's in a different format where it asks questions. There's an answer key. It's set up for a person to facilitate a Bible study or a Sunday school class. And there's a DVD in it that allows you to reproduce this book as many times as you need so that, like if you are discipling other people and teaching a class, then you can print out the materials, you can print out the questions and things like this so that everybody can have their own copy of this. And that's really tremendous. We're getting a great response to our study guides. We're now putting out a study guide to go with every book that we produce. And so these new materials, I think, are really going to help you to be able to get this teaching and get the full impact of it. Yesterday I started this teaching, and basically what I've done so far is just try and emphasize that there is a battle going on, not directly between God and the devil. Jesus has already confronted the devil, and he beat him and destroyed him, hands down. But then the Lord turned his kingdom over to us here on this earth, and we have shared authority with him. And Satan isn't fighting God directly. What he's doing is fighting God's people. And if we don't take our authority and exercise it, then Satan is able to do things really illegally. He's already been conquered. He's a defeated foe. We have been given the authority to exercise the defeat of Satan. But if we are unaware of this, Satan comes against us, and he, in a sense, is doing things illegally because we just aren't enforcing the victory that Jesus has bought for us. So the point is that Satan isn't fighting God directly. What he's doing is fighting God's people, and one of the things that he uses is ignorance. This is the reason that the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Once you understand that Satan is a defeated foe, that we're the ones with all of the power and authority, and that there is absolutely no right for the devil to oppress and destroy people's lives the way that he's doing. Once you know this, and I mean you know it on your heart level, then you get set free because Satan's only power really is deception. Now, I'm going to expound on that more, so I won't go into that a lot right now. But later, we're going to be talking about this, that Satan can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. And one of the reasons that people yield to the devil so much is because they do not realize we're in a spiritual battle. They're thinking that it's just on a human level that you have this sickness, that you have this poverty, that you have these relational problems, that you're having problems at work, that everybody else seems to pass you up, nothing ever works for you, and people just think it's all on a human level, it's all natural, when many of these things are demonic in their origin. And if you don't understand that and then take your authority and resist the devil, the word resist means to actively fight against, then he's not going to flee from you. And there's a lot of people who are praying and asking God for help, but they aren't taking their authority because they don't realize that it's a spiritual battle. They are just dealing with things in the natural realm. You know, I said a lot of things on that yesterday. I'm not going to go back and say that, but I'm aware that not every person watches this program every day. Even if you watch it, you don't always remember from day to day what was said. We get busy with life and all the things we're doing. That's the reason that I'm really encouraging you to get this book, this study guide, the DVDs, the CDs. You need to get this material so that you can review it and go over and over this, because these are things that we often let slip and we just don't remember it. But yesterday I mentioned out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that there is a spirit of this world, the prince of the power of the air, that works in the children of disobedience. Before we got born again, we were all under the control of demonic spirits. And I know that there's a lot of people, oh, not me. Yes, you were, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I know that there are many of you thinking, well, I don't ever encounter any demonic stuff. The Bible says that it is not flesh and blood. It is not just human. There is demonic activity. Many sicknesses are demonic. Much poverty is demonic. There is a demonic attitude of poverty that many of us have been taught, to where we are looking to all of these things. We're using values that put us in debt, and it's demonic in origin. And you aren't just going to get a physical answer. This is the reason that people win the lottery and they get all of this money. And you would think that when they win millions and millions of dollars that all their problems would be over. But the scripture says, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The reason people are poor is because of wrong attitudes, wrong belief systems, and much of that, not all of it, but I would say a large part of it, is demonic in its origin, especially people who are just have given themselves over to lust and they can't control themselves. And so they do things to excess. They gamble. They eat to excess. You can eat yourself into poverty. They indulge every lust and every desire. They don't use any restraint. You know, you may not see this, but if you just keep peeling back the layers, at the root of a lot of poverty is just self-indulgent and things that comes from demonic spirits. And this is the reason that they win the lottery, they get millions of dollars, and you would think that'd solve their problem, but in a matter of years, they're back in the same situation because as a person thinks in his heart, that's the way that he is. It's not because they don't have enough money, it's because of the way they think. And so you give a person who's thinking incorrectly a lot of money, and I guarantee you they will be back in poverty in a short period of time. And statistics bear this out, that the vast majority, the majority of people who win the lottery are in the same or worse financial condition 5 or 10 years down the road because they had a problem to start with, and just giving them more money does not solve the problem. Man, there are some powerful things I could say about that. Let me give you a scriptural example. I made reference to this briefly yesterday, but in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples who people were saying that he was. And some of them said, well, some people say you're a prophet. Some people say you're Elijah reincarnated. Some people think, all of these different things. And then Jesus said unto him in verse 15, he said, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, a very clear declaration of the deity of Jesus, the fact that he was the Messiah. And look at Jesus' response to this in verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus, when he heard this declaration, said, Simon, this isn't just human. This isn't just natural. You didn't figure this out on your own. You were inspired by God. This is the Spirit of the living God inspiring you to say this. This was a confession that was brought forth by the Holy Spirit. So here is Jesus saying that you were inspired influenced, led by a godly spirit, the Holy Spirit, that this was inspired by God. It didn't just come out of yourself. No man on his own. The scripture says this, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of the Lord. Nobody on their own can embrace and confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, without being supernaturally inspired. If you would just think about what I'm saying right here, this is very revealing. You don't just say these things on your own. It is not human nature to embrace Jesus and to embrace the things of God and to believe that there is a God whom you can't see. Human nature, just human left to themselves, will not believe for things that they can't see. So you have to be inspired by God to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and to embrace Him and to seek Him and to serve Him. And that's what Jesus is saying here. It says over in John chapter 6, verse 44, that no man can come unto the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. No person on their own just goes after God. But the Holy Spirit draws people. There is this godly influence at work to draw people unto God. Some of you watching this program right now, this is abnormal for you to be watching a Christian television program and listening to a guy talk the way I'm doing. And yet, you kind of were wondering, what's going on? The Holy Spirit's drawing you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You feel a drawing in your heart. This isn't human. It's not natural. It's God-inspired. And that's what Jesus said about Peter's statement that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that took place in the 17th verse. Look at this. In the 21st verse, this is the same day. This is just a matter of minutes, maybe an hour or two later. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Here's the disciple rebuking his teacher. And it was because Peter just thought that this is unacceptable. We aren't ever going to let anybody kill you. We'll fight to the death. We'll defend you. Jesus, this isn't going to happen. So he began to say and rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And look at Jesus' reaction. He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Now here's Jesus speaking to the same person that just moments before he had said, Simon, this didn't come from you. This is inspired by God. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed this unto you. You are speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In just minutes, he turned around and he says, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense unto God. Now, I don't know how you can read this and not come to the conclusion that the things that people say, the things that people do, are not all just of their own choosing. It is not just them doing it by themselves, totally free will, but we are influenced by God or we are influenced by the devil. I mean, that is just so clear in this passage. And it's clear, it's the same person. See, these weren't two different people. This is the same person that in just moments He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And moments later, here he is saying, not going to happen. Jesus, we won't let it happen. And Jesus turned around and he says, get behind me, Satan. I tell you, that is such a dramatic illustration of this, that so much of what is going on is not just human. There are demonic things happening. And if you understand this, it's going to make a huge difference in the way you relate to people. You know, when I first got started in ministry, I didn't understand this as well as I do now. And I used to take a lot of things personally and think this person's mad at me and why are they doing this? And I took offense easier than I do now. I have come to realize that people just yield themselves to the devil. Sometimes they say things that they don't really mean and believe. And I've been able to separate and recognize when something is just inspired by the devil and it's coming against me, trying my faith and trying to steal the word from me. And because of this, I deal with things differently. I don't take the same offense. I can sit there and be angry at the devil and recognize that this is the devil coming against me and separate that from that person. Now, there's not a perfect separation because Satan couldn't have spoken those things through this person without their cooperation. And so there is some responsibility on the person's part. But I can recognize that sometimes people just have a flesh flash and that they allow the devil to take charge. And I can separate between that. And I can turn around and be angry at the devil and rebuke the devil and yet have no animosity whatsoever towards the person. I know some of you are thinking this is weird, but this is what I'm trying to get across, that there is a spiritual warfare. Satan can speak through people, and if you understand this, it's going to make a difference. For one thing, you're going to recognize that you're fighting a spiritual power, and that spiritual power cannot be overcome in physical, natural ways. So you getting into the flesh and arguing is not going to solve the problem. Sometimes you just need to cut to the chase, go to the root of the problem, deal with the demonic thing, and leave out the person who is in between, who's being used by the devil, and you just need to go straight to the root of that thing. You know, let me give you an example. I hate to use this example because I always get criticized over this and people think I'm just mean. But this is my testimony, and it really illustrates the point that I'm making. And it's about my mother. You know, I love my mother. At the time I'm making this program, my mother is 96 years old. We have a great relationship. But there was a time that my mother, this is back when my son Joshua was just 1 year old, and he's now, I think he's turning 35 by the time this program is aired. And so that would have been 34 years ago, a long time ago. My mother had tried to stand on healing, and she had a failure. She didn't get the results that she wanted, and so she was kind of wavering on whether this healing thing was of God. She thought I was on the lunatic fringe and a little strange. So she had tried to cooperate with me and believe she didn't get the results that she wanted. And so she was pretty negative about it. And this is back when Jamie and I were in our poverty days. And my mother offered to take us on a vacation to the Great Smoky Mountains in North Carolina and Tennessee. So anyway, we were going with her, and I told her, I said, we don't have any money, but she offered to pay for everything, so we were going on this vacation. This is right after she had tried to believe for healing, had a negative experience, and so she had a cold, and she really thought I was too extreme on my stand about believing for healing and stuff. And so, as we started the thing, she was in kind of a bad mood. And she started confessing, oh, I've got this cold. Joshua's going to catch my cold. And I began to start saying, no, he's not going to catch your cold. And I began to start taking my authority and resisting this, realizing that my mother, she wasn't aware of it, but her negativism and the doubt that she was speaking could have been an inroad into our lives and into our son's life, and he could have gotten sick. So when she'd say, he's going to catch this cold, I'd say, no, he's not going to catch this cold. She said, now don't set him in front of the air conditioner. It'll blow on him and he'll get cold. And she just was speaking negative. She was complaining about, oh, I don't have the money for this trip. And I said, well, let's turn around now and go home because I don't have any money. I can't help you. I said, if you don't have the money, we can't do it. And she said, oh, I've got plenty of money. She was just negative. She was just having a bad day. And anyway, this went on all day long. And because she's my mother and because I loved her, I tried to just be positive when she was negative and not do anything, but it just kept on and on and on. And that night, we stayed in a hotel room. We all stayed together. My mother was in one bed. Jamie and I were in another. And we brought in a crib, and we had Joshua in this crib. And anyway, we went to bed, and about 11 o'clock or 11:30, something like that, Joshua woke up, and he had this croup in his throat that, I mean, it was really loud. You could have heard it in the next room. So I got up. I prayed over him. I spoke in tongues. I rebuked this. And within just a matter of moments, everything was fine. He went back to sleep. I put him to bed. But for every 30 minutes, for hours, he would wake up, and his croup would be back. And it was just this battle going on. And some of you may not really believe this, but I think that the reason that it was going on and that we were struggling is because my mother had spoken these negative words. She was in disagreement. There wasn't unity. Satan was using that to hinder our faith. And I was just countering it. And so here I was rebuking this sickness, praying over him, speaking in tongues. He'd get better. I'd put him down. But within 30 minutes, he'd be back up. So that went on from like 11:30 until 2:30 or something like that, 3 in the morning. And every 30 minutes, I was up and down like a yo-yo praying over my son. And anyway, one time on the way back to bed after I'd got Joshua down, my mother, of course, had been hearing all of this, laying there just listening to it. And my mother just spoke, I mean, real, real sarcastically, and said, "Admit it, Andy, he's sick." And, you know, she knew that I wasn't allowing sickness. We weren't putting up with sickness. I was fighting against it. And she just, in a sense, says, "It didn't work. You lost. Just admit it that he's sick." And you know what? This, I'm not saying that this is the way you should do things. This is my testimony. I'm just telling you this is what happened, and it does illustrate the point that I'm talking about. That when she said that, I mean, it got all over me. It was exactly like Jesus with Peter. Jesus loved Peter. Jesus wasn't mad at Peter, but he recognized that Satan had inspired Peter to say what he said. And he turned around and says, "Get behind me, Satan." You know what I did? I remember getting right down in my mother's face. And I said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this. I refuse to accept this unbelief. I renounce this in the name of Jesus. My son is not sick. He is well. We refuse to accept it." And I just spoke directly to the devil that I believe inspired that statement. And did you know that Joshua slept the rest of the night? He never got sick. He never had another problem. He was fine the rest of the trip. My mother never said a word that night, nor the next 2 days. Here we were on vacation, and she wouldn't talk to me. I couldn't make her talk. Finally, 2 or 3 days later, she said, "Well, I'm sorry you think I'm the devil." And I tried to explain. I said, "Mother, I am not mad at you, but you just gave in to your doubt. You were speaking things, and it was inspired by the devil." And I said, "It worked." I said, I rebuked this and took authority over it. And I said, "I never had another problem with Joshua." And I tried to explain to her. My mother came around. We are great friends. I did not hate my mother, but I'm just trying to illustrate. Again, I say I share that with reservations, because I know I'm going to get people saying that you shouldn't be doing things like this. Well, maybe you could have used more class. Maybe you could have been more tactful than what I did. But the point is, we were fighting sickness, and I knew that that unbelief was inspired by the devil when I countered it. End of situation. End of the problem. I'm telling you that whether you realize it or not, there are a lot of things that are being spoken against you that you may just think it's people, and you're trying to deal with it only on a human level. But just as Jesus did, just as I did, likewise, you should recognize that there are things that are demonic in origin, and you are only going to overcome it if you take your authority and overcome the devil. Now, I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this teaching. I got a lot more to share on this, and I think that this could really help you. Again, I'd like to encourage you to please get the book and the study guide that we're offering here on the Believer's Authority. This is a brand new teaching. Our announcer will give you some information, and listen and then call or write and join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. Request book T735. The Believer's Authority Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T427 when you contact the ministry. Andrew's complete teaching titled, "The Believer's Authority," was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount. Request DVD album T3205D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV. It's available on either CD or DVD when you send a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1045C or DVD album T1045D when you contact us. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled We're in a Spiritual War is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TL18 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, what I was sharing today is just a very, very brief summary of some points, and I have so much more material on this. I've got a website that, of course, lists all of our material, and one of the good things about the website is that you can get the things that we're offering there free. We have hundreds of my teachings available as free downloads that you can get as MP3s. We also have about 10 years worth of television programs, probably 13 or 14 years worth of radio programs that are free and that you can watch or listen to right there on the web. I've got books, articles, just a wealth of information. I've got a Bible commentary that you can get right on the web. It would be a tremendous blessing to you. We have that address on your screen. I encourage you to check it out today. I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got four services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night, and then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, and Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth seminar May 7th through the 9th. He'll also be in Amsterdam for the Eurospirit Conference May 21st through the 23rd, Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.